thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wole. Here, my boy Ray Jeezy Will T is out. We are now part of Sports Journey. Make sure you check us out at sportsjourney.com. You'll find all kinds of sports content, especially for your DMV sports teams. Let me patch in Ray Jeezy. What's going on?
Hashtag let's patch in the fellas. Is that, good?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We're not in the studio together, so I gotta make things work. It's difficult, man. You know what I mean? Hey, the transition is hard.
We got together yesterday for the first time in person.
It was
pretty cool. You know, it felt relatively normal,
mm-hmm.
But it was under different circumstances, a lot more heat, a lot more sweat.
you ain't lying,
kinda
bro.
Funny.
It was, it's the truth. Hey, I felt like I lost a lot of weight, though. I will say, just being there, I felt like I lost a lot of weight. But it was dope, though, man. It was a dope experience. And what Ray's referring to is we were at Prince George's County, the gym of WBC featherweight champion Gary Russell Jr. But it's been a minute, right? It's been a minute since we've been into that gym.
We've been in the gym.
Yeah,
in that gym. Oh, I was there by myself.
That's
last
true.
Time.
That's what
I think you, and then you went by yourself.
I did.
I think to do the interview.
I guess so, I'm thinking of the show.
It's been a while since we've been in together, mm-hmm. I should say.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of the show.
But,
go ahead.
Real quick, you know, it wasn't one of those 95, 99 degree days, because if it was, we'd have been in trouble.
Yeah, I know. I would have been dead.
Was the hottest month on record.
You ain't lying. I would have been dead, bro. Would have been dead. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T would normally say this if he was in the building. Let's get into our tradition. We will have a boxing roundtable discussion with several boxing pundits. We'll play our interview with WBC featherweight champion Gary Russell Jr. We interviewed him on Monday, which we discussed. At 8:30, we'll talk about the Danny Garcia Errol Spence fight, which will take place in November. At 8:45, we'll chat about the Gervonta Tank Davis Leo Santa Cruz fight in October. Finally, we'll talk about Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr.'s Legends Only League fight. But first, like Ray and I mentioned, we interviewed WBC featherweight champion Gary Russell Jr. on Monday. He talked about Bud Haney and Danny Garcia. Gary wants all the smoke. Before we get into it, Ray, do you want to say anything before I play the interview?
Nah, let's let the people hear. Thanks to everyone who has already viewed the video, who shared it. It was a blessing getting to talk to him, and we ain't even scratched the surface, because you know some other people he called out, including AB.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, just thanks to Team Gary Russell for their time, and you know, look out for more content to come.
All right, here's the video. I mean, here's the audio. This is the Urban Sports Scene. Ray and Wole, now part of SportsJourney.com, here with Team Gary Russell. Gary, you said you were quiet usually, but you've been doing a lot of talking since this whole pandemic kind of kicked off. What's good with you, man? First and foremost, I guess I should ask, how's your family? You know, how, you guys staying safe?
Yeah, the family good. You know, we staying safe. It showed me once again that I've been on point. I don't want my babies to be dependent on society. You know, because stuff like this happens, you know, so I want to try to prepare them to the best of their ability. And I got my babies growing a little garden and everything. We got some watermelons and everything. So just preparing my babies for just trying to give them a better chance of survival out here. It's a jungle, you know, so the family's good.
So how is training during this pandemic?
I mean, as you can see, I'm in a full sweat. I'm in a full sweat. Training good. You know, it's a blessing to have your own gym and be able to come and work out as you please. I'm one of them type of guys, I'm always in the gym. I don't have to be getting ready for a fight or a match or anything like that. It's my woosah.
Like Bad Boy 2?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you watch movies, okay.
Watch that.
Okay.
a minute ago. But I guess first, I want to say it was Devin Haney you mentioned, because his father mentioned you, as a matter of fact. I feel like you were responding, put on a little weight, assuming it's muscle just based on how you look. So in my opinion, I just been saying I feel like that's the most realistic looking fight, because he's looking for an opponent, you looking to move up. But again, there's others as of recent. We're not going to go there just yet. But what's your thoughts on a potential fight with Devin Haney?
I definitely feel that there was a potential for a fight with me and Devin Haney. As you can see, I reached out to Bill Haney. You know, we definitely did talk multiple times about us possibly trying to make a fight. You know, and in that fight, I told him, I pretty much said, if the fight was to happen, your son in a win-win situation. He's 21 years old. If he lose, he lost to one of the best fighters in the world. If he wins, he'd be one of the best fighters in the world, and it'd be one of the biggest purses of his career. Why not make the fight happen? I gave him a figure. He never responded. And he talked about he fighting Gamboa. So maybe they just wanted to take their business other places. I don't know. But you can't gauge yourself on the Gamboa, who clearly just lost to a Tank Davis, you know what I'm saying, at 135, you know, torn Achilles. He's 38 years old. You know, you can't put a felt in your head. That's not a real reasonable fight. If you want a reasonable fight, fight him, Mr. Gary Russell Jr.
So you're officially moving up in weight?
Man, I'm definitely officially moving up, man. I'm not playing, man. I'm not playing. I mean, ain't nobody want to fight me at 126. I've been trying to fight Leo Santa Cruz for the longest. The fight ain't took place yet. You know, I'm tired of picking on people that ain't gonna fight back. I'm a warrior. I need something. Mm-hmm. I need something to keep me up, man. So these guys, man, they are scared. So I will move up and wait. I wanna challenge myself, and I wanna challenge these opponents, because ain't nothing in the sport of boxing, from any weight division that you wanna mention, it doesn't really matter. Nobody in the ring does the that Mr. Gary Russell do in that ring. Point blank period. That I do in the ring is taboo to these fighters. You can pick any weight division. I don't care what the weight division you can pick. The they do in the mix and all that y'all see on social media, that's for show. That's some show. In most cases, it's very stationary. They stand in one position, throwing the mid punches. That's, you're not simulating a real combat situation. When I'm fighting, I'm coming to get you. I'm closing the distance. The that you see me do, this 6, 7, 8, 9 punch combination on the mix, that transfers over into the ring. You'll never see that with none of these other fighters.
So would you consider taking a couple, like, I don't say warm up fights? Every fight is difficult.
I don't want no warm up fights.
Okay.
All right. I don't want no warm up fights.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Let me ask you real quick. Do you regret waiting to move up? Because like Shakur, he's much younger. He already jumped up. He's like, I can't do it at 126 no more.
I mean, I think Shakur, he was naturally on a bigger frame anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's naturally on a bigger frame. So he probably had to move up after a certain period of time. I'm comfortable at my weight, but I can definitely fluctuate. And I have the skill set where, though, any weight I could touch, they got problems. You know what I'm saying? That everybody want to talk about, but the only upside that you'll give to any opponent is the fact that they're bigger and they possibly might. That's a physical attribute. You know, you need more than just a physical attribute to fuck with somebody like me. Let's look at Chris Bird. Chris Bird was a middleweight, moved all the way up to heavyweight. He wasn't even a hellified puncher at all. But after you get in touch, every time you think about throwing a punch with 2, 3, or 4 of these, and then when you do try to throw something else, I block it in 5, 3, or 4 of them more, and they right on point. They touching the target. By the 5th, 6th round, your eye gets busted all over me, swole all up. You realize you're down behind points, but now you're scared to throw punches. Because by time you know, every time you think about committing, I'm going to make you pay for this. You know, and the difference is the fact that I wouldn't have to be cutting weight, because I do have to cut weight to get to 126. You know, the fact that I won't have to, you know, cut weight and stuff like that. I'll definitely bring my strength, my power, as well as my speed and everything with me. You know, so I'm in trouble.
All right, let's throw a bunch of things going viral. What's up with this thing with Bud Crawford?
Oh, my God, man. Listen. First of all, it started off as an old folk tale or rumor. And the only reason why it came up was because it got Todd, R.I.P. Todd. You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, he passed. But when Crawford was about to fight, they asked Todd about him fighting the big puncher. I can't think of the guy's name. There's a big puncher in that weight class. Matisse?
I'm not sure. I'm not even sure.
It was a big puncher in the weight division at the time. And the guy, Todd, was like, "Well, I'm not a big fan of Crawford. You know, he had a chin issue. And I think him and Ruffy's like, I don't want to put most of Russell's business out there. But him and Russell got into a little scuffle. And I think that chin problem was going to haunt him for the rest of his career." Mm-hmm. Todd was the one who originally said that. I never was the one who put it out. Mm-hmm. They asked me, the guy from Barbershop Conversations asked me a question. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually attempted to avoid it. He's like, "So it didn't happen?" "Oh, no, he definitely got punched in the face. That did happen." You know, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm a realist. I'm going to keep it 100. The fans want to get a better insight on the fighters, you know. Mm-hmm. The fans want to know who you are as an individual. They want to know who they're supporting. Mm-hmm. You know, I want the fans to really know the individual that I am. I'm a realist. I'm a straightforward person, and I'm going to keep it 100, whether they like it or not. You know what I'm saying? The people that respect it, I appreciate it. And the people that don't, I understand. You know what I'm saying? I agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's just what it was. You know, he got on saying that I sucker punched them and all that. That was a thing of saving face. I never sucker punched them. Mm-hmm. How could you call it a sucker punch if I'm sitting over here minding my business, mm-hmm. and you walk from way over across the room and come to me? Mm-hmm. And now, first, we had the first question. He said something, and he was about a bathroom. Okay. And I stated to him, I'm like, "Well, you was definitely more aggressive, mm-hmm. but Dynamite, he was moving with a purpose. You know what I'm saying? He landed the clean, effective shot." He gets mad, yells, starts yelling, and then closes the distance. Now, we're all elite fighters at this point. Mm-hmm. If you're not a threat, if you're this close to me and you're not a threat, you need to make it clear to me that you're not a threat. Mm-hmm. So now that you're yelling, rah, 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 and I punch you in the face, that's not a sucker punch. You're looking directly at me. Mm-hmm. You approach me. I was standing here. You left from your proximity, and you came to me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a sucker punch. You know, now the people that think that's a sucker punch, you're a sucker for thinking that. Facts. You know what I'm saying? If you're not a threat, you need to make it clear that you're not a threat if you're within my bubble. Point blank period.
So you think he made you kind of come out of character, though? Because you came back on social media again. I'm like, I ain't even seen him that much within a year. And you back out here like, hold up. Let me set the record straight.
See, well, what happened was his coach went on there. And I was like, yeah, guys, sucker punched him. So when his coach went on, I'm like, hold on. I don't normally say nothing, but you're talking about me. So let me at least address the situation. Let me address the masses. Let me address the people and let them know what really happened. You know, so, nah. How the f*** are you going to say I sucker punched him and you wasn't even there?
Exactly.
That doesn't even make sense. Mm-hmm. Even Carl Dawgan, for him to have the audacity to say that I was in the ring, people need to pay attention. He said, I was in the ring when it happened. You know, I didn't see it, but the sucker punch happened. Mm-hmm. How could you possibly call it a sucker punch if you didn't see it? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a lot of holes in these guys' stories, and it's just crazy. All I want to do at this point is out. The one thing as a parent is he got punched in the face. If he feels some type of way about it, he doesn't even have to feel no type of way about it. At this point, I'm a real fighter. I'm a real gladiator. I'm a real warrior. I'm willing to meet you at 147. Mm-hmm. All I have to be is 141. Mm-hmm. I got off the phone with Al. Matter of fact, I got off the phone with Al today, mm-hmm. looking at some possible fights lined up for this year. Sweet. And I wanted Terrence Crawford to be high on the list. I want him to be the very first one on the list for us to look at to possibly fight. If the fight happens, there's never been nobody in the history of the sport of boxing to have jumped multiple weight classes and compete against that guy. It's never happened. Put me in the position to do something amazing. Watch how it occurred.
I mean, I think there's respect there because he acknowledged after his rant that, you know, Gary Russell is a top fighter, you know, mm-hmm. but basically stay in your lane, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's like passive aggressive type thing. But again, it's still respect, though.
Yeah, don't halfway go hard. If you're gonna go all the way, go. Mm-hmm. Don't halfway do it. Mm-hmm. I'm one of them guys that can just like see through it and be like, oh yeah, I see the. That mm-hmm. I'm really one of them type of guys, so it is what it is. I want to make a fight happen. Let's get the fans what they want to see. Now that it's out to the public, everybody know about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You can save face because you actually didn't punch back. I punched her in the face and you grabbed the face and you didn't punch back. You know, so if you want to save face, we can make some shake. I meet you at 47.
Well, man, Gary, we know we appreciate you, man. You always show love to Urban Sports Thing. We appreciate
you, man. I appreciate the love, man. I appreciate the love.
And shout out to LaShawn, too. I got to make sure
We'll get to Mikey Garcia next time. You mentioned him, right? Like I said, it's been a lot, but I know he's come up in the past, too. For the Diaz. No, not really. I'm just throwing it out there in closing. But best of luck to you. Like I said, stay healthy, man. You know, blessings to you and your fam, bro.
I appreciate it. Yeah, Mikey, like you said, in closing, mind your business, man. I ain't got nothing to do with you. Mind your business. Because I ain't mind your business.
Oh, that's right. He did mind it.
He
mentioned the Santa Cruz.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Because you can get it, too. You can get it, too. I will beat your ass, Mikey. What weight Mikey campaigning at?
He moved better than 135 now.
Oh, that's what's up. I would definitely beat your ass, Mikey. Stop playing. Mind your business because you on the chopping block. You doing the business move, and I think you're trying to fight Pacquiao. That's a good move. You're going to make that's a good money move. So I understand that. So, but after Pacquiao, I'm still on your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just one of them type of guys. I'd rather address it. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fighter. These guys boxers. It's a difference.
Much appreciated.
All right, that was the interview with Gary Russell Jr. When we get back, we'll introduce the round table participants and chat about what Gary said after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saying for Ages. You dig? Deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Ole Ray Jeezy, on sportsjourney.com. Will T is out. Let me patch in. We got a nice little cast today. You know what I'm saying? Will T, we got a nice cast, a round table thing. This is all Ray's idea, so I like to get credit when credit is due. All right. Let's introduce the fellas, though, first. We got boxing expert Johnny Sieg on the line. What's up, Johnny?
What's up, everyone? How's everyone doing tonight?
Everybody's good. Also, we have Quarterly Report Podcast Armand Lee on the line. What's going on, Armand?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Glad to be back on the show.
All right, my man. And finally, we have Bite Down Boxing's Reginald Woodson on the line. I know him by Wood. What's going on, Wood?
Hey, man, glad to come on and kick it with you and all the fellas and talk some boxing.
My man. All right, I want to start with my man Armand. You know what I'm saying? You heard the interview with Gary Russell. What were your thoughts about what Gary said during that interview with Ray and I?
Well, first off, shout out to you and Ray. I enjoyed the interview thoroughly. As I was talking to you guys before we got on, one thing that, and you know, we all are biased from the area. Many of us are from the area, live in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see Gary, there's a certain level of authenticity that is very much appreciated. And, you know, sometimes it's raw and uncut, as this interview was, but he gives it to you straight. And I appreciate that because a lot of times in boxing, there's a lot of theatrics involved, and you can never really get a clear-cut answer. But to answer your question as directly as I could, there were a lot of things that I took away from that. But the biggest one to me, I would love to hear your guys' take on this. it was like he casually just dropped that, you know what, yeah, I was talking to Aram the other day, and this is in regards to you guys talking about the back and forth with Bud.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love Gary. Gary's one of the best fighters in the world. I don't think he wants it with Bud at 147.
Mm-hmm.
But if he is talking about potential fights in 2020, maybe early 2021, depending, and he's talking to Aram about it, depending on what happens with the Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko fight, because we've heard some potential conflict there, Gary's been trying to fight Lomachenko for forever. He wanted the rematch. So, like, if you saw the first fight, you know how close it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been demanding to run it back with Loma for a while. I think that that would be a much better fight than him versus Bud at 147. So that was, like, my biggest takeaway from the interview you guys had with Gary.
Johnny, you want to talk? You want to have your two cents in about that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. First of all, great interview. You know, Gary Russell, you know, is a real talker. You know, you could tell that he's a real down-to-earth type of guy. You know, he shoots from the hip. He keeps it at 100%, which is great, which you want to see from any fighter or any athlete or anyone that you ever interview. So that's a great interview. Great job, guys. I agree. Run it back with Lomachenko. I think that would be a very important fight right now. I mean, for me, you know, the thing for him to move up in weight, I think is awesome as well. Credit to him. If you're willing to do that, okay? Because that takes a lot of, guys, let's say, balls. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a smaller guy to move up a couple weight classes, it takes a lot of balls. So, Terrence Crawford, however, you know, that's a big to do. Like, that's
first.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of, that's really muddy waters. You know, it's kind of tough, you know, and, people could say, well, you know, Gary Russell hasn't fought much over the past year. You know, he's only fought once a year on record. But who has really fought in this past year? So, still on at least even playing grounds there. But I agree. Run it back with Lomachenko, part two. Gary Russell has awesome tools and what a personality.
Would you want to see that? Do you want to see Gary versus Lomachenko too?
For me, I would love that.
Oh, Wood, you there?
Run that back.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Did we lose Wood? I think we may have lost him. All right, well, yeah. I mean, it's a fight that
Okay,
so I'm with you all, though, but it's a fight definitely I would like to see myself. I think that's the fight. I mean, to see Lomachenko versus Gary again, I think that's something that seems – something that I would like to see more than say – him fighting Crawford. I won't lie about that. That's just too hard. I mean, it's hard.
That doesn't need to happen.
I think it's a tough fight. He wants the smoke, right? So I give credit when credit is due. You like, I believe that Gary would take on that challenge. I don't think he's scared of Bud or anything, but I think the challenge of one, and I asked him this question, is like, would you want to take a couple of tune-up fights before you got the Bud? And he was like, no, I want to go right into it. I mean, before anybody at that caliber, if you're moving up, I feel like you should. I feel like it's good to get a couple tune-up fights, but he's like, nah, I want to fight ASAP. And I'm like, if you want to see Bud, that's a whole different level. I just feel like, you know, a couple, if you want to fight him, I think it's best to have a couple tune-up fights, but that's a challenge regardless of any fighter to fight Bud. I think Lomachenko is a good fit. Like, Lomachenko's a good fit.
Well, here's the thing with Gary, man. You know, and you could hear, you got, again, not to pile on, but y'all did a really good job with the interview. You guys asked him, you could hear, and if you follow Gary for a while, you could tell how frustrated he was. There's so many fights to be had, even at 126. And guys just didn't want to fight him. You heard how frustrated he was about Leo. Y'all brought up Haney. So there's a lot of there's so many fights. All these guys down there in 126 who could have fought Gary, but just chose not to. So, I mean, Mikey is a perfect example. That's a great fight if it were to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, considering how, you know, politics and boxing are the way they are, it seems to be that could be a potential fight for him. Again, Lomachenko, if he's talking to Aram. There are all these fights there. For him just to go run up, and clearly they have a personal issue, him and Bud. But, you know, that's the type of fighter that Gary is. But that's why you have to have a team around you, right? Because we all remember last year, Mikey ran up two weight classes to fight Earl.
Yeah.
And that was just a precision beatdown. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You don't want to take those type of fights if you don't have to. And there's so many other interesting, intriguing fights for Gary that you don't just have to throw him out there versus, you know, Terrence Crawford. That just doesn't, you know, that's, to me, that shouldn't even be on the radar.
I think
that's a dangerous fight. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at a lot of people that within his normal, Gary Russell Jr.'s normal weight category, you look at Josh Warrington, Navarrete, you know, or Stevenson, Isaac Dogbo. There's a lot of guys there, Jesse Magdaleno. Like, there's a lot of people he can fight, you know, Ryan Garcia's to the world. 147 is a different animal because these guys are big. Like, think about Earl Spence, right, who we're going to talk about later. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to go too far ahead. But think about the stature, the physicality of those guys. They're so big. You know, Gary Russell, again, you know, he's got a lot of courage. The fact that he's willing to do it, great. Is it a cash grab? I don't know. Who knows? Maybe the money's not great with the fighters, like, you know, down there to take on Regis Karius or, you know, all those guys that are down there that are good fighters that he could potentially mix around with. But when we think about 147, Terrence Crawford's of the world, Earl Spence's of the world, Manny Pacquiao's of the world, Sean Porter's. Yeah. Exactly. 100, bro. Like, those are the fights that are going to get people paid. I love boxing at all weight categories. But we have a problem where at the lower weight category, a lot of people don't really care about it. And I do, because I'm a diehard. And you get some really good fights there. Teofimo Lopez down there on 135 as well. Richard Colme, even though, you know, he had some setbacks. Good fighters. But I think the money is always north of 140 and going to the heavyweight division.
And Wood.
What's your guys' take on that?
So, Wood, you're on now, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties and whatnot. Because I'm not trying to really. I don't think I'm getting ready to be controversial. But in addition to what John was talking about, I think what my takeaway is in this whole situation is the fact that we have a lot of people who give premier boxing champions a lot of love and praise unconditionally. And what I'm seeing here with Gary Russell Jr. is my issue with it, that how can he not get the Leo Santa Cruz fight? And then with Mayweather Promotions, how could they not give a lot of good consideration to the fight with Gervonta Davis, especially with it being Baltimore versus, you know, the D.C. area and whatnot? So all of the talk, and I know we may get into it later, but to suggest that all Bud Crawford needed to do was come over and be a part of the PBC, this really dispels that. And getting around to the, you know, I'm a fan of weight classes, mm-hmm. and I'm a fan of boxing, and I feel like all of this weight division jumping and just calling out random fights, and I dig Gary Russell's courage, but it's just foolish to think that he could step up to 147 and do some real damage up there. And it wouldn't make sense for Bud. I'm not a big fan of the street stuff coming into the boxing game. So I was, you know, I love the interview. You guys did a great job with the interview. I like how he kept it a buck with everything. But he's a smaller guy. Let's go down. And even him and he called out a young boy from Vegas, Devin Haney.
Yeah.
That's not a bad look. But again, Gary Russell was like, is pushing the envelope for all of these. There needs to be more collaboration between these big time, the big three or big four promoters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is shedding light on the fact that we can't get the fights that we want.
That's true.
That's a great point mm-hmm. you made right there. Great point that you made. Because that's what's going on with boxing right now. Like, I'm also a UFC fan, and I've been enjoying what the UFC's been doing. They're just like business as usual. They're putting on bookings that prior to pandemic, during pandemic, post-mortem pandemic, they're putting on great shows. And I'm a boxing guy first and foremost. I love the sport of boxing. We all know this. But it's just with boxing, I want to see fighters step up. I want to see them come through. But Sean Porter, he's throwing himself out there. You know, he's going to fight. Now, is his opponent amazing? I don't want to poo-poo on anyone that gets in the ring because I respect all fighters. But we want to see, you know, what we talked about. We want to see Lomachenko versus Teofimo Lopez. We want to see a big fight because guess what? Baseball's playing, you know, and there's a lot of people on the field. And the Yankees will play the Red Sox. Mm. Huge beef, huge robbery there. You know, football, basketball, everyone's trying to do their thing. Boxing needs to step up a little bit more and give us the big names.
No, I think, and I agree. I think I would like to see, like, Gary. I mean, to about the what Wood said about, I'm going to go back to what Wood said. When we're talking about Gary and Santa Cruz, he's wanted that fight for a while, though. That mm-hmm. I will say. He's really wanted that fight. Like, that's a fight that he really wanted. Like, he worked hard to get that. He really wanted that fight. But, you know, at the end of the day, and we've seen this with Mayweather, we've seen this with other boxers, and it's the issue with promoters in general. Like, is that fight worth it? Like, for you, is it worth it? You know what I'm saying? Like, is Gary, the name of Gary Russell, worth it? People, it's not like it used to be when we used to watch boxing where it got to a point where, all right, two of the baddest dudes, they know it. They going to go at each other, right? It's the same thing for Lomachenko. Like, is it smart for Lomachenko to really fight Gary for part two? Is it really smart where there's other dudes that he can fight for a bigger draw? Would you take Gary at this point in time over Tank? Like, for I would take Tank over Gary because I know that Tank is a bigger draw. I'm going to make more money in that situation. You know what I mean? Like, so it's the business of boxing that plays a part within all that. But I could honestly say, like, Leo, like, Gary wanted Leo. Like, that dude, like, he wanted Leo.
Well, to what Johnny's saying, and, you know, I'm not a UFC fan.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate, obviously, the athleticism and skill to do it. I'm just not really a fan. But to what Johnny says, he brings a really great point in the difference between the two sports, though they're so similar. You talk to any UFC fighter outside of maybe two or three, and they're complaining about how much money they make, right? Because Dana White kind of runs that with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm.
Where in boxing, it's kind of the wild, wild west. Everybody's out there to make so much. There's so much money. Because of the 80s and the 90s, there's so much money in the sport. So it's almost like a delicate balance now where fighters are weighing. I mean, not to bring up old fighters, I shouldn't say old, but, you know, retired fighters. It was kind of the problem that Andre faced, Andre Ward.
Mm-hmm.
You're a guy who's so skilled, and everybody knows how good you are, right? Everybody knows how dominant and how great of a fighter you are. But because maybe you're not the theatrical, maybe you're not the playing the role of the villain like the, you know, the obviously the Mayweathers, mm-hmm. the Broners, and that type of guy. You don't necessarily draw that much. People don't spend money to get you. So then it's like, okay, I'm too good for a lot of these fighters to fight me because I'm not going to the reward is not going to be that big of a payoff. So everybody here would agree. Leo and Gary should have fought years ago.
Yes.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Leo was considered, you know, top 10, top 12 pound for pound. But Leo was always trying to get that big glamour fight. Now he finally has it with Tank, you know, and he's going to walk right into the lions, then we'll see if he's able to walk out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of where Gary is now occupying in that really bad position where you are so good that everybody respects you, but unfortunately you have not crossed over to be a big box office draw. So because people respect you and they know how dangerous a fight with you will become, the payoff is not big enough for the reward is not big enough for the risk. And that's ultimately what is unfortunate with the sport that we all clearly love,
mm-hmm.
because there's always this political and this balancing act with every single fight. Everybody here, we all could run down 20 fights, pretty much including all the weight classes, that everybody would want to see. But mm-hmm. then we also will be able to say why those fights wouldn't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it's part of the beauty and the frustrating part of being a fan of the sport.
So true. So, hey, Ray, you out there?
Yeah.
I want to introduce Ray because Ray hasn't said
that. It's like a hot shit you can't break up with. That's how I always put it. A hot shit you can't break up with. We love it and hate it at the same time.
I want to throw Ray in there real quick.
I want to deliver a general response to everything that all of y'all have said. I'm going to try this to see if it works out. First of all, to what Wole said, bruh,
if you could have Leo Santa Cruz and Abner Mares be a pay-per-view headliner, or I don't think both of them were, maybe one of them was, mm-hmm. or a co-feature or whatever, then we can make Gary Russell Santa Cruz work. You can make it a co-feature. Mm-hmm. It can happen. Trust me. I've seen Austin Trout be a daggone headliner on some cards. It's like, come on, man. My man Gary Russell, don't do that to him. Also, I appreciate Will pointing out that just because you put Terrence Crawford in PBC doesn't mean it doesn't guarantee he's going to get these big fights, as we're seeing. So that's a great point. I never really thought about it like that. I always just assumed if Bud didn't re-sign with Aram, then we would be straight. But he made a great point. Mm-hmm. I think it was Armand that brought up the Errol Spence and Mikey jumping the weight class is how it wasn't smart. My response to that is, let's think about ring IQ and speed. That in itself, at times, can offset power. We've seen, and size, we've seen Floyd Mayweather do that time and time again in his career, where he might have been a smaller guy. He may not have been as powerful, but he always won because he was a better boxer. So I don't think that just because Gary is stepping up a few weight classes, whether it's 135, 147, that he won't be competitive, and that it's just a foregone conclusion he's going to take an L. I think actually he would make a good fight, and Bud is aging. Bud hasn't fought a lot either, and Bud hasn't really fought the best fighters. So just want to throw that out there. I know you guys know that already, and I am slightly biased if I'm being real. But I still think that, you know, these fights can be made. And last thing is, Gary gets criticized for not fighting a lot, and there's reasons behind it, you know, people ducking him, but it is very calculated. He said on a number of occasions, as well as his brothers, like, when I retire from the sport, I'm mm-hmm. not trying to be punch drunk. I want to be in a good place, you know, mentally and physically. So just things to consider moving forward. I don't necessarily want to see him fight Bud, but I would love, as somebody already mentioned, for him to see, for me to see him fight Haney. I even think at 135, him and Mikey Garcia would be an intriguing fight, especially with Mikey calling him out. And Devin Haney's father's the one that called him out. So, all the call outs make it even more frustrating for us as boxing fans.
And that's kind of my larger point.
That's
kind of my larger point. There's so many fights available outside of running up to fight Bud at 147. I'm with you that, you know, you can be skilled. And just because you're fighting a bigger fighter does not mean that you're going to run across issues. But what I would say is, again, I'm not going to compare Mikey to Gary. I think we all would like to see that fight. But Mikey was a fast and a very skilled fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got in there, was not only a bigger puncher, but Errol was just
skilled too.
Errol showed the world. Like, there were people who just thought that Errol was a big puncher.
Yeah.
But Errol showed, like, nah, I'm a world-class boxer, and he systematically broke down another top-tier fighter. It's just too risky to jump that many weight classes to fight one of the best fighters in the class in waters that you never swam before. That's not to discredit Gary at all. I have the utmost respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, moving up to 147, it'd be different if we're talking about some other guys at that class, right? And I'm not going to name any name. I'm not going to be disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
You going to the top, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, at 147 is one thing, but you're going to 147 versus one of the two dogs of that division who do everything well. Like, baseball analogy, we're talking about five tools when it comes to Bud. And though, you know, his resume has left a lot to be desired at that weight division, he's still not really anybody you want to play with, I feel. You know what I'm saying?
So I want to end it
off. You need some prep fights.
Definitely.
Before going in. You need some prep fights. Yeah, you got to fit into that weight category. I mean, it's a big jump. Like I said, it's a different frame of a person. Like, these are bigger guys at 147. They walk around naturally 170, and they weight train to get down to 147. You know, a guy like, you know, Gary Russell, who is a great fighter, I totally agree with what you said right there. Devin Haney would be the best opponent for him. Both the same frame, both the same size, and both very good boxers. Their technique is amazing. That's a great fight, but does it pay? Like, then you get the cash grab opportunity in front of you where they're like, hey, you want to take on T. Sermon, or you want to take on an Errol Spence or a Terrence Crawford?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that payday goes up significantly higher because of the names.
Yeah, I want to go to Wood before we go to break. Wood?
Two things.
we got to quit overthinking boxing and quit trying to manufacture fights to give to the fans when it's obvious storylines that we're all following. We're not dumb. It's a lot of knowledgeable boxing fans out here that can put two and two together and get us to the fight that makes sense. And then secondly, shout out to Gary Russell Jr. for being one of the few guys over on the PBC that's actually calling people out. You got a lot of guys standing over on the PBC loitering. These dudes are standing around loitering. They have no real purpose. They're looking for the easiest. They're looking for the easiest fight, period. And none of these fights make sense. And I made a video last week talking about, but it's dope that you guys get to talk to Gary Russell Jr. when I have access to Adrian Broner every once in a while. But Broner actually said that he mentions Ivan Redcash, who's coming off of a loss. We don't want to see that fight, bro. We want to see you again. We want to see you against Regis Progre or Maurice Hooker. Like, we know where the titles are. We know where the titles are. Don't try to give us chicken when we want steak. We know what we want. So don't try to the three card Molly thing. Like, it's clear lines out here to do what they're trying to do, and don't overthink it.
No, definitely.
Right, like Gamboa.
Gamboa, I know. Yo, right? Everybody want to fight Gamboa. Like, that's what they—that's their claim. That's their little claim. Gamboa. I remember I had an argument with folks when Crawford beat Gamboa, and I was like, "It's Gamboa." Like, do you know Gamboa is done? It's Gamboa. Don't use that as a resume booster. I don't want to hear that crap. Everybody beats Gamboa nowadays. Anyway, Earl Spence Jr., Danny Garcia is going down. We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, Devin Cooje with the Triumphant Comeback. But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the beer? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wrecking shop. When I drop these lyrics, that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that are all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
You're listening to the Urban Sports, and we got a banger show so far with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, and we're also on SportsJourney.com. Will T's out. We're here with boxing expert Johnny Sigg, Quarterly Report Podcast, Armand Lee. I'm trying to pass the fellas in and do everything at the same time. And my man, Bite Down Boxing, Reginald Wood, a.k.a. Wood. All right, man. On November 21st, IBF and WBC welterweight champ Earl Spence puts his straps on the line. Get the straps on the line against Danny Garcia. Thoughts on the fight? I'm going to start my man Wood.
I'm kind of on the fence here, obviously because of the situation with the single car accident of Earl Spence Jr. I think it definitely speaks to his ambition, I guess, and his his willingness to go in here and kind of prove the detractors and the haters wrong. Garcia is a formidable opponent, and I'm starting to see a lot of cats in the social media and internet writers and whatever you want to call us. A lot of guys with boxing accounts and YouTube channels and whatnot. I'm starting to see some guys show a lot of love to Danny Garcia. It's interesting, and I'm going to stay brief with it. I just hope Errol Spence knows something that defies what all of us might be thinking.
Right.
Armand, you go ahead. Armand.
Well, my point, my take on this, I'll throw it out there.
is, yeah, I'm sorry to cut this one off.
Go ahead. You're fine.
Here, but, yeah, thank you so much, man. You know, my thing is, you said it at 100%, like, Earl Spence, like, what did that accident take out of him? Like, you all know he's a phenomenal athlete. He's incredible at boxing, right? But what really happened there, and that's what we're all interested in seeing, I think the time off for Spence will help him because he had a lot of time to recover. I mean, that thing happened in October of last year, you know, and when he gets in the ring with Danny Garcia, it's going to be a little bit over a year since that had happened. Now, for Garcia, you all know Garcia's got a great left hook. But, you know, he's feeling short in his biggest fights in a lot of ways. And there's some fights that he actually won that he gave him credit for that I didn't think he won. And I'm not trying to be a Danny Garcia hater, but if you look at the track record, you know, of certain fights that were very close, and a lot of his fights are always very close, I got to give Danny Garcia a lot of respect for the people that he has fought. I mean, his loss to Sean Porter was close. You know, his loss to Keith Thurman was very close. But then if we look back to the track record, Mauricio Herrera, like, a lot of people thought he lost that fight. I'm kind of one of those guys. So if we have the Earl Spence that, you know, was the guy that we knew prior to all this, then I think it's easy. It's an easy fight for Spence.
Yeah, you know, for me, we were talking, you know, during the break about biases. And, you know, I'm going to be upfront with everybody. Earl's my favorite fighter. So to me, this fight really hinges on kind of, like everyone has said, I'm not saying anything profound here, but just kind of where he's at, not just physically, but mentally, man. You know, if you saw the video, you know how traumatizing that whole thing was. You know what I mean? Like, I can only imagine living through that, especially like when you juxtapose the highs of winning your biggest fight on pay-per-view, and then just days later, you're almost, you know, gone from this earth. So, you know, the only time can tell where Errol is at in terms of being in the ring, taking the shots. But, and I mean this with all due respect to Danny, this fight right here, I don't want to call him a gatekeeper, right? But this fight right here is pretty much probably going to be, in my estimation, like the last straw for Danny as a championship prize fighting type of fighter. Because again, he fights everyone, but there's sometimes there's a lot to be desired in the big kind of prize fight moments, and this is maybe his last stand. So I feel like Danny's going to give us everything he has, and the question really always falls back to, like, where is Spence? Because the Spence is the same fighter we saw in 2019, 2018. I think we understand. I mean, you know, we were talking about it earlier. He fights at 147, but you see Spence, like, it's only a matter of time before he moves up. The dude is just a huge, he's not a welterweight, you know what I'm saying? And
no, he's big, bro. He's big, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm very much looking forward to the fight. But again, this whole fight, in my opinion at least, and again, I'm biased, but this fight, to me, kind of hinges on where Spence is from a psychological standpoint and obviously a physical standpoint.
I'm biased, too.
More than the stress, yeah.
This kind of gives them, the PBC, in my opinion, it kind of gives them an out or maybe an excuse. Because I wasn't looking forward to this fight when they made it. Because you can't go through Adrian Granados and move back into the winner's bracket for me.
Right.
Especially when I'm waiting on the fight that I'm waiting on, which was Bud Crawford. So this, with the COVID-19 pandemic coming in and giving this, you know, putting the boxing, putting the sports world on pause, this really helps them out with my intrigue and interest in this fight. So, and then, like I said, we are factoring in, you know, what version of Spence are we really getting? And like I said, I tip my cap to the man for not coming back against some softer touch. But I do have some apprehension that I'm trying to mess with Armand Lee on them $10 words.
I don't. There's only 317. They 3917. They ain't 10.
Amazing.
But you can't. But you know, I'm really just hoping that, you know, you don't come out here. I'm hoping that Derrick James is looking at him in camp when once they get into real sparring. And I just hope we don't get here in the third or fourth round and there's some, because I don't know if all of this stuff gets replicated. The same contact, the same intensity and all of that aggression. I don't think all of that gets replicated in training camp and in sparring and whatnot. So I'm just hoping for all parties, and especially for Errol Smith Jr., who obviously believes in himself. Mm-hmm. You know, we got Bob Arum on interviews talking about it's a miracle and all of this, you know, with him being what he is. I'm just hoping we don't get into the fourth, fifth, sixth round and there's some things that really pop out that couldn't. Because we've seen it. I remember when my man, I can't think of his name right now, the running back for the Chiefs, Priest Holmes.
Yeah, Priest.
He came back and went through, you know, he came off of the pup list and, you know, got a couple of days in the contact, and then it was over for his career.
Mm, yeah.
So I just really hope it's not this pay-per-view situation and we all put our money into it and it's all of everything that comes with a big-time fight.
Mm.
And then Danny, and it's not a good look for Danny Garcia either to be standing in here with a guy who really can't function the way that he needs to for this level of boxing.
Well, I mean,
yeah, thank you. Kind of what you were saying, Joe. It's like, I remember when Keith, and this is, I mean, at this point, I was off of Keith for a long time before this, when he came back. And, you know, he. Dude out there, and I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, this ain't it. And I thought he lost the fight. You know what I'm saying? Almost did, I should say. And I'm glad, like, it speaks to, like you said, Spence's kind of desire to kind of put himself out there as one of, if not the best fighter. But that gumption, which can work in your favor, can also be a detriment. And, you know, Danny's not a slouch. And again, Danny's not a desperate fighter. Like, Danny got to know what time it is for him. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm excited to see this fight, but also what stems from this fight. Because ultimately, when we talk about Spence and when we talk about Bud, it's like it all comes back to the same point, right? It's only a matter of time. And like I said, in my opinion, especially after the events that happened last year, it's only a matter of time before Spence moves up. So, clock is ticking. So, and this if we want to get the fight, it's going to happen. It has to happen.
This is the reason why I love boxing, though. It's like, these guys are fighters. And, like, you know, for Errol Spence, like, he went through a tremendous adversity last year. But he's willing to go out there with a top-ranked welterweight fighter. You know, we're talking about Gary Russell to start the show, about willing to move up weight classes. This is why I love boxing. This is why I love fighters. Guys that, you know, we're willing to throw it out there. And I said the word before, but I'm going to spell it out now. B-A-L-L-S. You know what that means?
Yes, sir.
Requires, like, dude, think about that. This guy went through a traumatic experience in Errol Spence. Right. Like, it was terrible. It was kind of, I'm not going to say self-inflicted, but, you know, I have to say it's, luckily, he didn't wear a seatbelt. He did. My God. You know,
right.
At the end of the day, you know, luckily he's alive, but always wear your seatbelt, guys, and don't drive drunk at home. You know, I'm like, you guys, all the listeners, to know, don't drive drunk. Like, you got to watch everything you say nowadays. But, I mean, for him to come back and come out and, you know, face, you know, Danny Garcia, who is the gatekeeper. That's the best way to put it. Because, let's face facts, Garcia has not been the guy that a lot of people thought, you know, that was going to take on the welterweight division. He had playoffs. He didn't fight, you know, frequently. He lost some big ones. He also lost against questionable ones. So those are the things we look at, and that's what we factor in. Now, do I respect him? Do you get in the boxing ring? Absolutely. You get in the ring, I respect you, because I know what that takes. So, having said that, I think Errol Spence,
did we lose my man Johnny?
one Wood reminded the world that we do still honestly pay for fights. you know, most of them. Number two is, you know, my man Donnie said, don't drive drunk. I totally just want to jump on board with that. But Wole knows I'm the king of kind of throwing people off subject. I just want to put out there that I'm also looking forward to Jermell and Jason Rosario. I think that's going to be a dope fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that it's going to be a lot closer than what people think, you know, for all those PBC guys out there, which I am one, as opposed to Top Rank. Just had to throw that out there as well. But, going back to Errol Spence, I feel like he's the fiercest body puncher in boxing. Like,
oh.
If Danny Garcia does not come into this fight in shape, which he has a history of having some lackluster training camps, if he is sleeping on Errol thinking maybe he's going to catch Errol coming off this accident, he's going to make a grave mistake, man. He's going to end up like the other Garcia if he does not take his training camp serious. Because, I mean, right. I watched Errol Spence versus Kell Brook, which I feel like was one of his toughest fights.
Yeah,
he was down in that fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And he broke Kell Brook down.
And
I'm like,
yeah,
exactly. So, I'm just putting this out there. I feel like he can lose this fight just simply all body shots, man. I feel like Errol is that real. I think he's the most dangerous body puncher in boxing. Like he's a technician, man.
Let me. I want to say something.
Beautiful left hook to the body.
I want to say something about Danny. About like, because I like Danny. I actually he's like two of my favorite boxers. Like I like Danny. I feel like Danny's gotten robbed a couple times. He's been in a lot of close fights, but I feel like Sean Porter, I thought Danny beat Sean. I'm not the only one who thought that Danny beat Sean Porter, because I thought that Sean Porter
was biased, though.
I could be. Yeah, I am biased. Man, Sean Porter was throwing nothing but fluff, man. I'm done with Sean Porter. That's a whole different argument.
You don't like Sean Porter.
I don't.
Or Keith. You don't like Keith either.
I thought he beat Keith.
Well, like, you don't like John?
I don't like Sean Porter. He's too sloppy.
Like
nah, man. He hurts my feelings the way he boxes, man. I hate that crap.
I don't want to get you off your point, but I have the utmost respect for the way Sean fights because, like, it's a Tasmanian devil in there. Nobody
linebacker. He fights like a linebacker.
Don't stop swinging.
Yeah, and don't hurt nobody. Don't hurt nobody. Little putter pat punches. I'm sick of Sean Porter, man. Danny Garcia had all the hard punches. He had all the real punches in that fight. He had all the real punches in that fight. Like all the power
people.
Punches.
He hurts people, bro.
He barely hurts people.
Ask your man Bud what happened to the talk between Sean and him.
Bud don't want to fight. Well, Bud's smart, though. He's smart. He shouldn't fight no Sean Porter. Because he ain't stupid. Because that's a scorecard draw. That's a scorecard problem right there. That's like, don't get me started on Sean Porter, man. Just don't do it.
I just want to run it back to a couple of fighters we spoke about. Mm-hmm. We spoke about Crawford, Spence, you know, obviously the face of 147. Both those guys are great at angles. You know, for Spence, yes, his body punching is
That's
incredible.
Amazing.
His angles that he gets. And for Crawford, like the way he plays off a jab and changes up his southpaw, the orthodox
yeah.
stance, and then uses his legs, that's everything. Like, it's not only about the hands. It's about how you keep things in concert with the leg maneuvering. And that's
right.
why these guys are so good, and that's why this is the fight we want. Because if we get them at their best, and I know Crawford's good, you know, but we see where Spence is at. If we could somehow maneuver in the boxing universe to get these two guys in the ring together, oh, my God.
No, I agree. And also,
I mean,
isn't Bud supposed to fight?
Manny out here throwing little teasers.
Yeah. But isn't Bud supposed to fight? Isn't Bud supposed to fight Brooke? Isn't he trying to fight Kell Brook?
They're working on it.
They're working on it, right? Yeah, I thought so.
Is Kell Brook still going out there, man? He got beat up a lot lately.
I know that. I know.
I'm sick of you know what? I'm not... I got nothing but love for Bud.
Bud's the man.
I'm so tired.
Crawford.
As my man said earlier, man, let me throw some controversy out. But in no way, shape, or form, am I ever going to get on any type of platform. I wouldn't be in the barbershop talking reckless about the fighter, the boxer that Terrence Crawford
right.
is. Let me make sure I get that out the way first.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm ready to curse Joe. I'm so tired of what they, the way. way Bud has been handled. I'll give him that amount of bail. Be like, this is on his handlers. I will do that. Because I'm tired of Amir Khan. If he get in there with Kell Brook, I want to see that. Like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're one of the best fighters in the world. And every single time, every time he want to talk, he want to say how his fights are tough and how he got in there with Horn. My man, the last time he was in the ring, they didn't rule it as knockdown, but he dropped you. You were dropped. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, you've been a welterweight now for, what, 3 years? Mm. Your best fight can't be Amir Khan. It can't be at 147. You were too good for this, and I don't know if it's top rank. I don't know.
No, I agree with you.
I don't know what it is. But somebody got to get to Bud and be like, bro, you're not on merit. Yes, you and Errol is a 50-50 fight, for sure, on merit.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a business. And in 2019, Errol made his two first pay-per-view fights. And them joints went 400, close to 500, back-to-back. Now, you've been on pay-per-view twice. And the first one, that's not your fault. You know what I'm saying? That was a good fight. A man, his name is escaping me. This is before he moved up to welterweight.
He's from Gamboa?
He's escaping me. But top rank just bundled that.
Jose Benavidez?
The first one to... No, it was the first pay-per-view fight.
Oh, that was... It was on ES... Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It was the top rank.
Was it Ndongo?
No, it was...
It was before Dr.
Oz. Postal, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That was the fight to make at that time, but the top rank bundled it, right? That's not... That should have been the first red sign for you, red flag, whatever. Then you go on Amir Khan. They hit the pay-per-view numbers because everybody knew this junk was trash. Bud has to... If they shoot down the John Porter fight, which has been rumored that they didn't want that fight,
mm-hmm.
and he gets in there with Kell... We gonna have to really shake up the way we talk about the top of the panelists, right? Because there's nothing that Terrence Crawford has done at 147 to make any of us feel that he is the best at that division. We're only doing that because our eyes tell us how great of a fighter he is. But iron sharpens iron. I can't go off of what you've been doing 3-4 years ago when currently you're ducking all the smoke. And I don't know if it's on him or his handlers or his promoter, but this upcoming for whoever he gets in there with, that's it for me. Like, it's time to put up a shut up for Bud.
I can't put it all on Bud, but I can't really argue against what you're saying. But we got to take a look at the PBC's hold on 147 and all, even beyond their champions. We mentioned you guys, Jamal Dames. There's a couple other guys in there. At some point in time, somebody has to, like I said, you can't keep giving us what's good for your roster and these in-house fights.
Right.
And the fact that, and this is why I didn't say nothing, but I'm not with the energy that Danny Garcia showed in fighting Errol Spence Jr. when 2 or 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, he had no interest in fighting that man.
He didn't want to do it.
He didn't want that life.
But now that he needs him, and now that he knows his man and climbed out of a car accident, now he's all interested in making it. But
no, you when he was sitting right there... Danny doesn't deserve this fight. There's nothing that Danny has done to deserve this fight.
Yeah, when he was sitting there in the number 2 slot in WBO... And the PBC wanted to ignore, even this past weekend during the Jamal James and Delorme fight, they put up there that the only 2 champions were Manny and Errol Spence Jr., who they happen to have right now.
Right.
So I'm tired of the, I don't want to do y'all like
Gary?
Like Mr. Gary Russell Jr., because he's an adult. But... So I use the word for buckery, for bakery. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous right now that he had a chance to go out and face Terrence Crawford as he was coming up and filling out as a welterweight. He he could have jumped on that fight, but it's no like impetus. Again, getting that Armand on them $10 word. It's no motivation to go out here and do anything fantastic in the welterweight division. And it's a division with a history that owes that we owe more to it for big events to be created with all the guys that are there at welterweight.
You know what? Go into exactly bookending what we talked about earlier about the UFC type of thing. And again, I'm a big boxing fan, but UFC is a league. Major League Baseball is a league. I wish boxing had a league because it'd be more organized if it was. If there was,
right.
But it will never happen. Not to sound like Teddy Atlas. Exactly. We need a league. We need someone to come in and be like, hey, you're going to fight this person. You're going to fight that person. This is how it's going to happen. This is what we pay you, you know, and that's what it is. Because, I mean, that's how other sports are run. And unfortunately, the boxing, it's just like, you know, we have a lot of loose cannons. You know, it's private contractors that are just running this thing. And I respect it. I understand it. It's me. I've been around the sport a long time. But the thing is, it's like you need some kind of function to make things work with the fights that we want. And say, hey, listen, you know, you've won these amount of fights, and you've won these amount of fights. You're top one. You're top two. Let's make it happen. This is what the public wants. This is what we're going to pay you. And boom, there it is. But unfortunately, with the sport, again, like I said earlier, I love it. It's my favorite sport. My favorite thing in life, even outside of music. I'm a big musician fan, you know, music fan. But it's like boxing sometimes, man, it makes you really question, like, why? Why do I have that? Sure.
John.
Yeah.
Gary Russell Jr. wouldn't put his arms around Leo Santa Cruz's dad and said something, I can touch him, but I can't touch you. And Santa Cruz didn't want to fight that man.
Wow. And
He went and touched that man's father, and Leo said, well, I'll look at, what was my man's name? Not Morales. I can't think of the dude that he fought.
Oh, you're talking about
Ray. But how do you let a man put draper's arms around your father who didn't even, his father didn't even know who Gary Russell was at that particular moment? And he just was like, okay, you know, it kind of happens in this game. Nah, man, you got to go see that man.
Yeah. You got to go see that man. I love the energy, Wood. Hey, we got to go to break, man. We'll talk about Tank versus Leo Santa Cruz, actually, after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Station for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Ole, Ray Jeezy. As you all know, we part of Sports Journey. Check out sportsjourney.com to get all your DMV professional sports team news. We're here with boxing expert Johnny Sig, Quarterly Report Podcast, Armand Lee, and Bite Down Boxing's Reginald Wood, a.k.a. Wood. All right, fellas, on October 24th, both WBA titles will be on the line at 130 and 135 when Tank Davis takes on
Leo Santa Cruz. Is this fight dangerous for Tank? And I'm gonna start with Johnny.
I don't think so. I think Tank is an explosive puncher. I think he's coming into his own. I think if he's focused, that's what boxing is all about. If he comes in with his game plan and trains really, you know, nicely for the fight, I think he could handle Leo Santa Cruz very easily. And one thing I want to say about Santa Cruz, no disrespect to him, he throws a lot of punches. He doesn't have much power, does Santa Cruz. But you guys ever noticed that weird twitch thing?
Yeah, with his glove, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, that's a timing device. Like, again, I'm a musician, I'm a drummer. So if I see something like that as a fighter, I'm going to figure that out. Like, all right, you do two of those and you drop your left and bang. You know. But I think Gervonta Davis has come into his own. I think that he's definitely going to step up in his ranks as a fighter. And I think Leo Santa Cruz, you know, for the most part, you know, has, I'm not going to say disappointed, but I don't think he's got what it takes.
Yeah, I mean, for me, do you want to rewind maybe about 5-6 years ago? I really enjoyed Leo as a fighter. And I thought that he had a lot of upward mobility. And at times, it looked like he was going to make that kind of next leap into stardom / superstardom, if you will. You know what I mean? He has heritage. He has the style. Again, the weird kind of twitch or twist to the gloves. It's just odd. When you watch Leo fight, it's just odd. But, you know, there was a period of time when you were like, yo, this guy, he has it. And that stalled. And obviously, he's done a lot of running around, avoiding a lot of different fighters, which we talked about some of that earlier. To me, this fight is 100% dependent upon what's up with Tank. I think the last two or three times I was on this show, we talked about Tank in some form or fashion. And it always comes back to, like, yo, where is he? Like, you watch Tank, and Tank one night will look like he is, you know, he's like this hybrid of, like, a pit bull and a Rottweiler, and he just dominates whomever. And then he gets into all this foolishness outside of the ring. You know, I want to say 2020 has been so weird. I think this happened either early 2020 or in 2019. He had an issue with, I want to say, one of the mother of his child. You know, we don't condone that, obviously. But, you know, there's just always a lot of stuff circling around Gervonta Davis. But when he's focused and when he's completely zoned in, the dude is an animal in the ring. There's no doubt about his skill set. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any risk at all for Gervonta. I think the risk is that Leo going to be put down. Leo Absolutely. Obviously has the reach, but there's not going to be a lot of power behind those pops. But, you know, you can score points. But at some point, Tank is just an aggressive fighter. He also works the body very well. And, you know, it's not going to take too many swings to chop down that body if he goes at Leo because, you know, Leo just hasn't looked like an exceptional fighter for a few fights now.
See, this is where boxing, again, I'm hating, and I'm a mad boxing fan / writer. So, boxing can't get, like Johnny said, or John, you can't get by where we got to, these boxing is like, and some of these fights are like Nas albums. You gotta always explain why it's really great.
When
it's,
oh, man.
When it's not really great. And Nas is my dude. I'm bringing in the music thing for John here. But Nas Thank is my you, guy. But I always got to defend why a Nas album is what I say it is. Bruh. Always. And here it is with Gervonta. It's a dude that's coming. You were moving. Gervonta, it insults my intelligence. Gervonta was in the process of moving up, and they got him this belt at 135 through the politics. But now here you are facing a guy that's coming up to the old weight class that you just left, that you're going back right. down to. So, I got to explain this stuff and think it through and determine, well, I really want to give you $75.99 or $74.99 to watch this. And then, but on the back end, though, I got to give Gervonta a little bit of credit in the fact that A lot of people have ran out here talking about the rift between Floyd and Gervonta. But if you watch him right now on Instagram, he's actually out there in Vegas with Floyd. And this tells me that Floyd understands the magnitude of this fight. And it's like, bring your John Hine parts out here. You're going to train right. with me. You're going to get this role work in. You're going to make weight. We're not giving away 300 bands or 250 bands for each pound that you're over 130. We're going to give us the best chance to put on a show. And he's got to deliver against somebody that we know. And then on the other hand, I'll let somebody else jump in. I do like the fact that Leo Santa Cruz is coming out and speaking about his strategy and understanding, Gervonta is hell out of the gate. You know, the first two or three rounds, just like Tyson, you know, he's hell out of the gate. But he's probably, I'm going to buy into the fact that he can be durable enough to withstand, you know, an early storm from Gervonta and try to get him into that fifth, sixth round where we saw everybody's favorite Gamboa, you know, extended that fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And see if we can have a real fight or not. But, again, I got to sell this fight to myself. And by the way, I'm looking for investors to join me at my house to pay for that one.
Let me take this real quick, if you guys don't mind. I'm going to take this real quick. And any fighter that gets in the ring, all due respect. And especially now, because of the things they have to do, the testing, and they put themselves at risks, and then go in bubbles and all that kind of stuff. So I want to shout out to anyone that's out there fighting. You know, I might have certain opinions about certain fighters at certain times where I think they could have stepped up and done better, or certain shows that I think could have been promoted better, whatever. Bottom line, this is boxing, this is life, and anyone that's out there doing it, I give you high credentials. You know, I give you a big thumbs up.
Mm. Well said.
Man, I actually am kind of enjoying being able to watch the maturation process for Gervonta Davis. I know as fans, we want to see him be this professional because obviously he's at the top of his sport, man. But we remember when we were his age, you know, so I kind of laugh at seeing him on Twitter talking. He wants to punch the barber that just messed his haircut up, man. Seeing him just, you know, just wild out, man. I think it was Ivan Redcatch that said that, you know, Tank ducking me. He don't want to spar with me. And Tank is going off on Twitter like, who spars at 11 in the morning? Like, I ain't even up yet. Like, calm down. I just think that we remember being his age. We can understand what he's going through. But I think as he gets it, he's going to be great. There's no risk in this fight at all for him. Like Armand already said, there's no point even really analyzing this fight. We know that Leo is overmatched. I don't understand why Leo ducked Gary but going to fight Tank. That's crazy to me.
Money, man.
But here we go.
Money, money.
I was going to say, money.
Money.
I'm good. Like,
yes. You're going to lose and get paid? Look, man, you're going to lose and get paid. You're going to lose and get paid, though. Like, you're going to lose and get paid either. Like, you're going to lose and get paid with Tank. You can lose to Gary and not get paid. But you can lose to Tank and get paid. Like, that's the reason. That's the overall reason. He knows he can't beat both of those dudes, but he knows he can get paid losing to Tank. You know what I'm saying? If he wakes up,
we can't hear you, brother. And listen, maybe.
Can you hear me?
Unfortunately, we lost the audio.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
All right, now we can.
Yeah, all right. What I was saying is that I know, right? Like what I was saying is that like he's going to get paid to fight against. If he loses to Tank, he's getting paid regardless. He's getting paid. Loses to Gary, he's not getting paid. I'd rather get paid a lot and lose. I'm cool with that. Like I'm cool. I get the hustle.
But see, this is the thing, right? And I know, we all out here having fun, but that lets you know the mentality of a fighter.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know, I think Gary would beat Leo.
Yeah.
And I think Leo knows. Or someone in his camp knows that because they've been avoiding him for years.
Yeah.
But that's a far more competitive fight because at least Leo has something that could work against Gary.
Agreed.
I don't know how long it will work, but he has something. The fact that he jumped at a fight versus Tank lets me know, I mean, all of us, when we heard this fight was first off, it's a pay-per-view fight,
mm-hmm.
and that these two fighters were being put against each other, everybody was like, oh, this is a cash grab.
Yeah.
And it's a cash grab to see how badly Tank is going to beat Leo Santa Cruz. which lets me know Leo is not there. He is checked out. And if you watch some of his recent fights, it's been clear for a while now. Like, Leo's not the same guy anymore. And whether him avoiding Gary, him taking this fight, him getting a pay-per-view headline, like, whatever the case, Leo, obviously, with nationality, he's always going to have a backing, right? He's always going to have a significant fan base that's going to support him. And unfortunately, you know, in this era of boxing, in this day and age, the black fighter who does not put himself out to be, you know, a character or a quote-unquote villain, it's a hard sell. You know, I talked about Andre before. Andre has spoken at great length about this. But you can run down the list.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Of excellent fighters, black fighters, who don't do the Broner, who don't do the Floyd. You know what I'm saying? And Gary, with all due respect, he carries himself. He's someone that people can be proud of. He's obviously one of the best fighters in the world. He carries himself with a certain level of integrity, a certain level of discipline. And, you know, it's hard because get in the ring with Gary, who know you're going to have a long day. You know it, right? And I think it was Ray talked about it earlier, like Doug Wood. You know, when you get to the 147s, that's the glamour weight, right? And then once you start moving up, that's where the paydays are. But for guys underneath there, yo, Leo made a business decision. This fight. I'm Wood, dog. Like, I'm calling my homeboys up. Hey, you want to put 20 on this?
Man, you call me a pirate, bro.
We all know what's going to happen.
I will say this, that Leo Santa Cruz is going to throw a lot of punches, but they don't really have much behind them. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, you know, Gervonta Davis being, you know, a pit bull. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets in there, he goes over. And if you fight a guy like that and you're not hurting him, good luck. You know, like, it's just good luck, especially if you have rhythmical issues. Like I was talking about the rhythmical issues that Leo Santa Cruz does with the twisting of the hand and, you know, insecurity and just not really, you know, fulfilling any kind of, like, I don't ever want to crap on anyone that's boxed because I respect everyone that boxes.
For sure.
But 100%, guys, like 100%. But, you know, it's all about, like Eddie Murphy said, what have you done for me lately?
That's my favorite. Like, that's like my favorite stand-up.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy Wall is the best thing ever.
What have you done for me lately? Eddie, what have you done for me lately?
I think that's my favorite stand-up of all time. Like, start to finish, he doesn't stop.
Oh, that's my thing. Raw and Delirious are like my two favorite. Eddie, I'm going off topic. I'm sorry, but yeah, I agree.
I went off topic.
I think all right, my thing is that what if Tank gets tired though? You know what I mean? Like, what if he does the whole Mike Tyson thing? Does he have enough?
But I mean, kind of to what everyone was saying, Leo can't hurt him.
Okay.
So let's say Tank does.
Leo can't hurt him. That's a great point.
Like, those jabs, I mean, unless Leo is going to be so precise, and I mean, like, target practice on the eye to swell it up, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I made a great point. You can time it. And, you know, initially, you know, I think everybody, when the first time you saw Leo fight, you're like, hold on, what is this? Like, did he hurt his hand? You know what I'm saying? But it is kind of like he's timing himself. It's kind of like, you know, everybody's making these great analogies, so let me jump into it. It's like when Ben Roethlisberger passed the football, right? Trying to time the throw. You know what I'm saying? Man, we had knives, we had drums, we had all this other stuff.
Bro, we had everything, man. We had Eddie, we had everything out here today, bro.
No, I love it. It's on point.
So it's like you can 100% time it, and I think some of what has happened to Leo over the years, the people started to figure him out, and his desire has waned a bit. And, you know, yeah, so I definitely think if it goes, first off, the assumption that it's going to go long is still an assumption because I don't know if Leo has it in him. And again, no disrespect to him, but I don't know if he has what it's going to take to withstand those first 2 to 3 rounds of just wrath that's going to be coming his way out of Baltimore. You understand?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be like nonstop. But if he does, if he's able to weather that storm, for sure, Tank is going to take a few rounds off, but what will Leo do to capitalize? Because I don't think he has what it takes to hurt Tank. And if you give him a few rounds to kind of get a second win, guess what's going to happen? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's only so much that Leo, in my opinion, will be able to withstand.
Yeah, he won.
And that's why this fight really, I don't know if it necessarily helps. If it necessarily helps the trajectory of what they were trying to do and what they and what Showtime and what Mayweather Promotions would like to do with Gervonta Davis, because at the end of it, after we watch it again, we could be trying to explain why this wasn't a great fight when we all knew beforehand everything that this is contrary to everything that we know about boxing and everything the recent history that we're all aware of. Like like I said, you were going to 135. This is a man that's coming up from 126, and y'all are meeting in the middle? Like, how does this even make sense? Talk about this more, I'm really going to keep my hands in my pockets on fight night and pass on this one. But I'm hoping that they do something in the co-main event. But again, this is why they're trying to do too much. And it just made so much more sense for Gary Russell Jr. and Leo Santa Cruz to do something instead of us now getting to this, and you're putting a good name on his on Tank's resume and whatnot. But again, he fought Jose Pedraza, and Pedraza went in there and completely he couldn't have been a more willing dance partner to sit there and get beat up the way that he got beat up that night. And then Fonseca and this other cat that he fought in Baltimore. Come on, like, if you – and I'll finish with this. If you pull him up on BoxRec and you pull up his mentor and Floyd Mayweather and see the flat-out battles and big fights that Floyd was in at the same age, they really got to speed things up for Gervonta and get more creative and do something for this young man.
Great point. Because when Floyd came on the scene, and I'm a big Floyd Mayweather fan, I mean, you think about it, what he did, you know, when he came out, when he was on KO Nation, you guys remember that show?
Yep.
I don't, but I know what you're saying.
And then he took down Diego Corrales.
Yes,
Gotti. Yeah. When he was Pretty Boy Floyd.
He killed Gotti. Oh, that was special. Who he did Gotti was special. I'm not going. That was special.
Yo, that was special.
That was special.
Really special. You know,
Jose Luis Castillo.
Yes, Jose Castillo. I remember I was a fighter at the time in amateur boxing, you know, gym, and I was asking everyone, like, you know, before the fight happened with, you know, Floyd and Diego Corrales, and they were like, who do you got, you know, and we're all talking, I'm like, I got, you know, Corrales, everyone had Corrales, and then Floyd knocks him down 7 times and stops him. Amazing. Like, people forget about that stuff, like, Pretty Boy Floyd, like, he did some stuff. I got a little excited there. I'm telling you what, man. Exactly. Like, when I saw him throw a 25 piece on a throw on his face, I was like,
"Oh, that was CB."
You know, and a lot of my friends back home in Jersey is all like, "Man, Dottie's gonna get this." I'm like, "Nah, you're stupid." You know, Floyd's gonna.
Oh, they were dumb.
Floyd's gonna beat him up.
Oh, they were dumb.
Yeah.
And that made him mad, too, because people left. And that made him even more mad because people really thought he was – I mean, they kept telling him that he was going to lose. Like, that pissed him off. Like, you got the realest Floyd in that fight. Like, you got the realest Floyd in that fight. You got the realest Floyd in that fight. Like, because everybody – Floyd hurt all the doubters. He was appalled. Like, he really was insulted. Like, you think this dude is going to beat me? Like, he was really insulted. Like, that was Floyd – The perfectionist, like the boxer, the technical assassin, you got and the power Floyd. You got everything in that fight. Like, you got everything from Floyd in that fight.
The best version of Floyd Mayweather ever.
Yes, seriously.
Because he was like, I just beat Gotti.
Yeah.
Like, he was so impressed because we all know Gotti's a tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for Floyd to show that emotion and do the things he did, and what I always tell everyone about Floyd Mayweather's career is, like, look at the Cotto fight. You know,
yeah.
you know, look at the Sugar Shane Mosley fight when he had to deal with adversity, when he had blood drawn on him, you know, when he got his nose bloody and he got hurt. He had to spread his wings and throw out the dragon and adapt. That's the best part about Floyd Mayweather as a boxer. If you look at his adaptability from whether he's losing the first two or three rounds and then turns it around, like, that's why a lot of people might, you know, not like this. I think he's one of the best of all time.
Yeah, I think
without a doubt.
Yeah, one of the best.
Because 100%. To deal with what he dealt with, like with Miguel Cotto, Sugar Shane Mosley, dude, he got rocked. Even Zab Judah messed him up.
Yeah.
Bad. Really bad. And he took it. And what did he do? He fought back. You know, what a great fighter Mayweather.
Sure was. He should be in the legends draw. We're about to go to break and we're about to talk about this. We're going to share our opinions about Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. You know, jumping back in the ring. It was pushed back, but still. They're jumping back in the ring. So we'll talk about that after break. Listen to the Urban Sports saying, for I just yet it. Deuces.
Look, if you get around, look, going down.
Yeah, well, I'm a holding on your damn street. Stopping, jumping, bumping, every car can feel this damn thing. Throwing the balls, I'm packed, these soldiers screaming and bleeding from their nose. But when we start, this is we make them hit the flow. Ain't no game, I'm feeling this thing. We be deep up in your body, call my get it started. And we be the hardest, so if a come and run, they mad just like a punch them dead up in his nose. Stop this, that to the flow.
Yeah, we nuggin' and buggin' and ready to fight. How better I'ma throw them things on haters, best to think twice. See me, I ain't nothing nice. And call my beat, ain't no stopping. Baggy like my dad's Wu Tang Killer, and that's time I've been lying. Like they said, stopping, and I am acting a fool. I wish I had a wicked crunk up on this crime I threw. Now enough is enough, boy, rough. And get stuck, boy, love is a must, boy, no. If you buck, boy.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Bole, Ray Jeezy, also part of Sports Journey. The homie Will T is out. All right, we're here for the last segment. We're here with boxing expert Johnny Sig, Quarterly Report Podcast, Armand Lee, and Bite Down Boxing, Reginald Wood, a.k.a. Wood. All right, man, my favorite boxer of all time, I'm not going to lie. Iron Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. Iron Mike Tyson is my favorite boxer of all time. And Roy Jones Jr. Exhibition has been postponed to November 28th. I mean, regardless of the postponement, are you excited about this fight? I'm going to start with my man Johnny because I know he's excited. I don't trust everybody else. I know Johnny's excited.
You know what? I'm excited because it's motivational. We have guys that are older, but they're still trying, you know, and great, you know, fighters from yesteryear that we can identify with to our childhood. You know, we watched Floyd Jones come up. We watched Mike Tyson come up.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we have them in 2020 where a lot of fighters are not willing to fight. What? I am so on board for this.
I love it.
Now, my boy, I love Roy. I know him on a very personal level. Be careful. Mike Tyson looks amazing.
Yeah, he looks great. He looks like old Mike. Semi-old Mike.
You know, I'm trying to be as reserved as I possibly can about this.
Go for it, bro. Go for it.
I'm going to choose my words extremely carefully. But I hate everything about
it. I know you do. That's why. I know he does. That's why I didn't start with him. I know he does.
No bull. All right. Let me just break it down, right? And I said this on my show about maybe a week or two ago.
I know.
If Ken Shamrock were to fight Rampage, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Bellator, that would be just an afterthought. The way people talk about the big three, you can turn on the big three whenever they come back.
We'll talk.
You can watch Mare, Joe Johnson, and all these stars from yesteryear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good time.
Yeah.
But people look at it for what it is. they got all these crazy things, you know, they got T.O. running 40 times, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can see the old guys play flag football, play all these other crazy football leagues, whatever. In the XFL, you want to see Cardale Jones, bong, you had your chance. But we didn't cite that junk, you know what I'm saying? Mike Tyson's fighting Roy Jones Jr. I'm just like, who asked for this?
I did, Armand.
Before they talked about it, there was never a thought in your mind like, yo, I want to see Roy Jones Jr. get in the ring with Mike Tyson in 2020.
Not
so even. Mike Tyson was just fighting a shark 2 days ago, bro. What? Let it go after this.
Hey, yo.
Oh, man.
I love Roy Jones Jr. My favorite fighter of all time, God bless the dead, Pernell Whitaker. And it was almost like a seamless transition from Sweet Pea to Roy in terms of like the best fighters in the world. And Roy, throughout the mid-90s, he held it down for the sport. I will never, ever, ever take anything away from Roy. The thing about Roy that puzzles me, particularly as we watch all of the, like all of the money, mm-hmm. all of the media rights that ESPN and Fox and Showtime and DAZN and all these other companies throwing money to broadcast these fights. If you remember HBO Boxing,
exactly, man.
Roy is phenomenal,
amazing
at doing color commentary.
Best amazing, one of the best broadcasters of all time.
Yes, of he's all so time. Great at it. He's like not like literally, yet. And I don't know if he signed some extended non-compete. I have no idea what happened when HBO folded, HBO Boxing folded. But he can make real money calling these fights. Like no disrespect to Timothy Bradley or Lennox Lewis or any of these other colored guys outside Andre. Ward is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But outside of him, all of these other color commentators are up to par. Roy could take any of these dudes' job if he wanted it.
Why are you being so
if
nice?
He wants to fight Mike Tyson?
They trash. You can say they trash. The other dudes are trash.
I don't like it.
They trash compared to Roy.
Roy would see 2 rounds ahead. Like, Roy would see what's going on. Like, you know, think about, like, the Klitschko fight back in the day when he got knocked out. You know, Roy saw that coming. He said, I'm telling y'all, and then next thing you know, bang, guy's out, you know. And Roy Jones, I think, is one of the best commentators when he was on point, in particular, looking ahead.
Mm.
Absolutely one of the best.
So we all watch, hopefully, and that maybe not all of us, I'll speak for a few of us, we watch WWE, you know, growing up, we watch The Undertaker, and we were naive. We thought it was real. I remember The Undertaker putting Ultimate Warrior. No, I'm talking about myself for real. The Undertaker, he put Ultimate Warrior in the casket, and I've been a naive kid. I'm like, oh man, Ultimate Warrior is dead. So I had the same feeling when Glenn Carl Johnson hit Roy Jones. I thought Roy was dead, bro. Like, and what that tells me is
that was so bad.
What that tells me is Roy don't need to be back in the ring. You know what I'm saying? I'm really nervous for this dude, as nervous as I was for the Ultimate Warrior.
Hey, Joe, I was watching that. You know, Roy's been messed up very badly over the past couple of years. Enzo Macronelli, like, that was a bad one. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, man, Roy again? Come on, brother. You know, that was a tough one. But going real quick back to the Klitschko situation, Lamon Brewster, that was a pretty wild knockout. That was a pretty wild knockout that came out of nowhere. And Roy Jones, if you guys watch the playback, the reason why I bring this up, if you watch Roy's call of this fight, he will tell you what's going on in round two, and it happens moments later. And he's right on point with it, and it's tremendous.
Yeah, it was a fight that Roy called before they got out of there with David Lemieux. He was fighting. It was some brother who was coming back.
Oh, my man. That's Curtis.
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. It was. I can't think of my man's nigga. I don't think he's fought since. But
to Johnny's point, it was a dude who was coming off of a loss, but he was like a highly regarded prospect, guy who had reached the contender Tapia. Level.
Tapia?
What'd you say?
Tapia?
I don't think that was it.
What weight class are we talking about, guys? I'll get you. What weight class?
I think David Lemieux was at, it was at 160, I want to say. But to your point, it was this guy was coming back, and like two or three rounds early, like Lampley was trying to say that the guy, you know, could do some things, and he was cold or whatever. He was figuring it out, and Roy was like, "Nah, the way that he's not seeing his one punch, that's a problem." And like three rounds later, Lemieux cleaned him up.
Yeah.
And it was just like you said, it's phenomenal how he can see it. You know, again, with this fight, I'll say this, man. Being, you know, podcasting the last few years and doing, you know, trying to create content and whatnot, it's easy to see that Mike Tyson is not, he's not full. He's not a whole, he's not him whole self. He's not being made whole and sitting on that mic. Enjoy, trying to enjoy this like we might enjoy it. He's like, nah, bro, I'm a fighter. I'm an animal. I'm a beast. I'm a savage. So I can understand that last professional fight that he had when he was laying on the ropes, looking up, and the dude that, who put him on the ropes and put him on his pockets. I could imagine that that doesn't sit well with him. So I can see him wanting to get, and then we heard like 3 months ago or 6 months ago when he was crying on the One podcast, talking about he missed what defined him. Mm. I get all of that. I just can't give you $50 to work it out for me. I'm sorry. like they say on the Shark Tank, Mark Cuban. You know, I get it all, but I can't add any value here, and for that, I'm out.
And the sad thing is, we know what this. As soon as they started doing this. I saw a van in Holyfield.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know it.
Running up hills. What? And I'm like, dog, they're going to try to run this thing back, ain't they?
They're going to run it back. You know they're going to.
Like, I'm like, dog, I don't need to see none of this, man.
Mike
like,
needs revenge.
Bro, like, dog, more revenge, human chest. Do what the other old folks do, man. Like, this doesn't end well.
Look, man.
That's my whole thing. None of this ends
look,
well.
Look, man. It might get you that.
Tyson, uh-huh. I'm going to say this. Like, Holyfield in the second fight, when he started off, he left right where he left off in the first one. Yeah. Those hooks and jabs, oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, I just have an issue with, like, with a post-jail Mike. I love pre-jail Mike, you know what I mean? Like, so I just feel like the boxing world never got, like, true Mike after, you know what I'm saying, after jail. Post-jail Mike was where it was at. So much, the skill was better, the head movement was better. He wasn't just throwing, I mean, he was throwing, when he, after jail, like, when he came out of jail, it was like he was throwing haymakers just to throw haymakers. He had, before jail, he had a plan. There was a plan. There was a method to his madness. And what I saw after, like, jail, I mean, he beat a couple folks. He won some titles, but he was never the same Mike. I just like seeing Mike, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. I love Mike.
Can you imagine being his age and having all those successes that he's had? Like, a lot of people say, like, you know, Mike went off the rails. I'm like, dude, you're 20 years old. You're 19, 20 years old. Mm. And you won the World Heavyweight Championship of the world. Everyone's telling you you're the best to ever do it. You know, you're getting money thrown at you. You're getting women thrown at you. And,
Robin
you know,
Givens.
For him to fall off the rails, I hate to say it, I don't blame him.
Yeah, it's what Ray said. It's like what Ray said not too long about Javante, man. Like, you're young. You're on the maturation process. Unfortunately, Mike Tyson's process was a little bit difficult. But, like Ray said, you know what I'm saying, like, at that age, to be heavyweight champion at the age of 20, you know what I'm saying, and that much, like, you're the best, you know, the best boxer on the planet to many at that time.
It was hard.
But he was a transcendent athlete at that time. Not even just boxing. He was a transcendent athlete, which made things worse for him. Yeah. And let me redeem myself, because I wanted to say that guy was from Virginia that I was talking from Burke, Virginia. That was the fight that that Roy called, and it was just phenomenal how far ahead Roy Jones. Yeah, it was amazing how far he suckers. You know,
he's
didn't
like a
see
Jedi.
It was weird. It was weird. It was uncanny.
Back in the day, you know who else was great? We fight cooler, Emmanuel Stewart. The best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
Yeah. HBO needs to come
Emmanuel
back.
Because Emmanuel just had so much passion, so much conviction, and so much knowledge.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
I miss HBO boxing.
Emmanuel Stewart. Man, I miss him.
I miss HBO boxing in general. Like, I just miss that whole team. Like, this what we have now is horrible. I could say it. I don't care. Like, I'm not trying to hurt it. I'm cool with hurting people's feelings. It's horrible. Like, what we have now. Like, I hate Lennox Lewis. I know Armand, you was being nice. I hate Lennox Lewis. I think he's the worst. In terms of
Lennox Lewis says the most obvious thing
exactly
at any given moment.
Exactly. And you know what I mean? We're talking about one of the best heavyweights of all time, and everything he says is regular. Like Jim Lampley can say that. I can get that from Jim Lampley. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, he's just Lennox Lewis is the worst.
With Jim Lampley, bang, bang, bang.
Oh man!
Yeah, with the Manny Pacquiao fight,
that was amazing. Again, like, I don't know what type of knock. Like, ESPN threw so much money at Top Rank, and you know, to some degree, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of the ratings. Obviously, the ratings since the quarantine had not been the best, but there's still on-air content that they can deliver.
Yeah.
You threw all that money to get the rights. You have now Loma, Bud, and Fury.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, like, no disrespect to Tessitore, but he's the weak link. Like, you could just take Timothy Bradley off because Andre Ward is really good at doing what he does.
Agreed.
Max does his thing.
Yeah.
Bring in Lampley, and then Top Rank's car or announcement.
You're done.
It's the best by
I agree. Like, I agree.
I'd love to have Lampley back.
PBC
is
much better. They, I mean, PBC, they went through a lot of struggles. They had Chris Myers at first. He didn't fit. Then Kenny Albert. But Brian Kenny knows what he's talking about. But Lennox just brings down that broadcast.
Agreed.
Get Roy.
Get Roy.
There, like there are people out there who do the job and are tried and true. Like, they are tested. They have the results. We know that these people can deliver. And for whatever reason, we keep on getting Joe Tess and Timothy Bradley or Lennox Lewis looking off to the side, not knowing what the hell to say.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, man, y'all already made the investment. Like, once you put the money in, do your best to give the best product.
I agree. And
for whatever reason, that hasn't happened yet.
Or give Mike Tyson.
I like Al Bernstein.
Mike Tyson.
That's an amazing point when you said to me. He said that, you know, know what we're getting into. You know what you're getting into. Like, let's go. Let's give the best product possible. And I think that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most important thing.
For sure.
Yeah, I told you.
Absolutely, guys.
All right, well, fellas, it's about time.
Like,
go ahead. Go ahead, Wood.
No, I'm just saying, they're like, Lennox, what do you think about this fight? Well, we're sitting ringside. No. Duh. Like, we didn't know that.
Hey, on that note, we're about to end this
shit. I don't know what type of rehearsal. Like, how did you get that? Like, what was your, like, when you had your interview and they did, like, the test run, how did he win you over? Or was it just because you're one of the greatest heavyweights of all time? And just
you can't get Lennox. You can't win off that,
like,
though, right?
To me, that's just absurd.
That's a bad. You can't just win off that.
They were just afraid to tell him no.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, they emailed Lennox that he didn't get the job, but he just continues to show up for the events, and they're like, man, I ain't telling him that we didn't hire him.
Right. Lennox can jab you when he walk in the door. You could be all the way in the first floor. And Lennox will jab you from the door, from the entrance. Like, nah, I got this job.
Yeah, I'm just...
Dude, his jab was ridiculous. You know?
Man,
and he was one of the first people to actually show athleticism as, in my opinion, like, we had Larry Holmes. We had guys that were big at heavyweight. But Lennox, with his footwork, again, like, everything in boxing, like, I tell everyone this, like, when you watch boxing, it's not only about the hands. It's about how your foot moves and your foot maneuvering. And Lennox was so great at maneuvering angles off of a jab
put his foot. And I think that's what made Lennox, I think, the greatest big heavyweight of all time outside of Klitschko, but I think I got to give to Lennox.
Yeah, until Rockman got him.
I think the dopest thing about Lennox was the fact that he got stretched out by Rockman.
Yeah, exactly.
And came right back.
But look how he returned it, though. He returned that favor.
Oh, yeah, he did. He beat the crap out of him.
That's what I'm saying.
With Rockman, he busted him up really nice.
Gave him that crab cake ass whipping.
And he punked that man. He punked that man knowing that he'd been knocked out by him. And nowadays, like I said, as the mad fight fan, we don't get that type of angst anymore and disdain and people going out here wanting to prove things like that anymore. We don't see that nowadays.
That's a great point. And that's what I want. The passion, like we spoke about earlier, like what's going on with the boxing world. I want that passion. I want to see a some kind of rivalry. Like I want to see
Julian Williams
come in.
Oh, yeah.
Remember like Holyfield go, like how big that was, like Holyfield Tyson, you're like, holy, you know what I'm gonna say, S, you know. But that made you feel so like, oh my God, I cannot wait for this moment, you know. And that's what boxing really needs. We need the Lomachenko versus Teofimo Lopez. But even beyond that, you know, and that's why I respect what Tyson and Jones is doing, because, yes, they are names, and yes, they are old, they're very old, extremely old, I keep going there, but at least it's something, and anyone that's trying to do something in the sports world nowadays, or anyone that's trying to do anything nowadays, period, I gotta give them respect.
Look at Julian Williams. He lost to Jason Rosario.
Mm-hmm.
He went and had facial surgery for his what do they call that, scar tissue. Julian mm-hmm. Williams knocked out. He stopped. I mean, he didn't knock out, but he embarrassed Jared Hurd at home.
Yeah, that was
no
bad.
Rematch.
Yeah, that's messed
no
up.
No rematch.
Messed up.
So it's just not the same. It's just not that same get back. Mm-hmm. You got to go see that man.
Yeah.
You got to go see that man.
No, I get you, because we had so much that went down before the pandemic that was going on. And let's face facts, boxing the past, I'm going to say 2 years, was pretty good. We had things, you know, fleshing out. We had great fighters coming on and doing their things with, you know, good matchups. And all of a sudden we get this, and then we're at a standstill. So that's my point that I was saying before. Mm-hmm. Again, to bookend it, let's bring our big fighters back. I want to see Anthony Joshua. I want to see Deontay Wilder. I want to see how Deontay Wilder responds from Tyson Fury. That was an amazing, crazy situation where I was totally confused. I'm like, where's Deontay Wilder tonight? You know, all the things in the world. And I get
on
my
back.
Boy, that's one of my favorite fighters. I'm like, he didn't show up. Like, what's going on here? I was so confused because I know he's got that power. So I want to see the heavyweight fights. I want to see Andy Ruiz. Let's talk about Andy Ruiz. Like, he didn't look great against Anthony Joshua in the rematch, but he's still a player. At any point in time, these heavyweights can take you out. So I can't wait to see. And Usyk. Let's see Alexander Usyk come in to fruition. Dillian White's still out there. There's so many people. You know, boxing could be in a great place, but we got to get the fights.
I think it's good to end right there. Hopefully we get those fights. Before we leave off this show, I want everybody to get the shout out for their social media, their websites, everything. So I'm going to start with my man, Armand. Armand, please tell the folks about your podcast, about what you got going on, what you got popping.
Yes, sir. Every Tuesday, make sure you guys listen in, download, and subscribe to the Quarterly Report podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you listen to pods, your favorite DSPs. You can follow me on Twitter at The Quarterly Show, Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-L-E-E Show. Good mix of boxing, basketball, culture, music, the whole nine, man. Enjoy talking to y'all and everybody listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you check me out
Again, the Quarterly Report podcast every single Tuesday.
Yeah, you better check my man Armand out. All right, my man Johnny, let the folks know about how they can catch you and what you got going on.
You can just check me out. Just, you know, search Johnny Signorella or John Signorella. I'm out there on all platforms, whether it's iTunes, whatever. And I appreciate your guys' time tonight. Most importantly, that's always a great thing, is to say respect to all y'all. You know, keep doing your hustle, keep doing your thing, keep doing your grind, and I hope everyone does the same thing. John Signorella.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Hey, Wood, man, let folks know. Let them know.
Hey, you can find me on, I think it's...
Oh, hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man, finish up.
No, finish up, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it's Boxing Music John on Twitter. I'm so terrible at my
about to say, self-promotion. Yeah, about to say, you know, yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Come on, Johnny, don't do that to yourself. All right, Wood, come on, let the folks know.
Hey, just check me out at www.bitedownboxing.com over there, mainly doing fight write-ups. I try to get in some op-ed pieces here and there. Check out my music column where I mash up music. You might like that, Johnny. Music and boxing. I try to do it. It's called Sound for Sound instead of Pound for Pound. Check me out with that over there. Also, check me out on my Pay Me No Mind YouTube channel. That's Pay Me No Mind, M-I-N-D. I do my Bite Down boxing coverage over there on a on a separate playlist, but I do break down and preview fights, recap fights and everything over there, and talk about some headlines or breaking news in boxing, as well as breaking down new albums or new singles in music, and then just some TV series. I'm kind of killing the Shy right now. I don't mean I'm doing great by it. I mean I'm literally killing how bad the Shy is right now, so check that out. And then other than that, man, like I said, Johnny was saluting the fighters for stepping in that ring. I just want to salute everybody on the channel, because for anybody that's out here doing anything week to week, whether it's podcasting, writing articles, showing up for other people's podcasts and supporting the platforms of others, it takes everything just to do any little thing. So salute other people and give them their flowers and roses. And that's it, man. I'm just out here trying to love on folks.
I appreciate
you,
man. You
got me all happy right now.
Nah, I appreciate that, man. Love, I feel good, man. You got me feeling good today. Hey, Ray,
I love it. Yeah, hey. I'm walking away from this feeling. That's what's up. It's everything. That's what's up.
Oh, man.
Everyone, much love, much respect. You guys are all awesome.
I appreciate you. Hey, Ray, you want any parting shots before we end the show, Ray?
Oh, yeah, just real quick, man. Thanks for everybody for coming on the course. This exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
And we missed the Dame Lillard Classic tonight, Armand, because of this. So I thank you, man, for coming on.
What happened with Dame, bro? What happened with Dame? Don't do that to me, y'all.
Thank you, everybody. Much love.
All right.
Much love, family.
Appreciate y'all.
Dang,
hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And check us out on our new home, Sports Journey, at sportsjourney.com. Anyway, man, we appreciate everybody for being on. We appreciate the guests. We appreciate this round table discussion about boxing. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces, A Mega. Lead us out, big homie. To the swag.